In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we continue our study, the book of 1 Corinthians. The theme of our study is called, and the idea is the call that God has placed upon our lives. Today, we're going to study about the call of growth, or how that we are called to grow spiritually in the Lord. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word, from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for your precious and holy word. Thank you, Lord, for the rich wisdom that's contained therein. And thank you for making that word available to us. Now, Lord, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll take your word and you'll surgically apply it to every life, Lord, that we may grow in you and learn of you and become better servants for you. Lord, we pray that you just be glorified from this message. Use me this morning as your speaking tool, that it not be my message, but that it be yours. And open hearts to receive it. And help us to respond appropriately as you lead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Called to grow. There's a word that's repeated, or a phrase that's repeated in this text that we just read. And that phrase is, "Are you not carnal?" Carnal. That just sounds like an ugly word, doesn't it? I mean, to be called carnal, that's not something you strive to accomplish, you know? That's a slam, for lack of a better word, in our culture. And really, spiritually speaking, it is degrading, or it's something that none of us want, okay? Now, to be carnal is to live according to the desire of the flesh, fulfilling the "I want to right now" mentality, and just living for pleasure. And there's more to life than that. And Paul's writing to this church at Corinth, and he's writing to get across to them that fact, that there's more to life than just pleasing yourself or pleasing the desires of the flesh. And that's what we're going to focus on today, is growing. Growing into that state of there being more, enjoying the spiritual maturity in the Lord. And we start with gentleness, and how that gentleness is required. Now, it's required, of course, for the newborn babes in Christ. And we don't want to break the baby. How many of you have ever been handed a newborn baby? And as you hold that newborn baby, you know, when you hadn't done it in a while, it's like it's completely foreign to you. And they hand you that baby, and it's like there's a feeling of panic and the deer in the headlight look, and you're just, "What do I do with this? I'm going to break it." You know, you feel like, "I don't know what to do with this." And after a short time, though, you learn how to cradle the head and let the body rest across your arm and cuddle with that newborn baby, and to give that baby a feeling of security and love and appreciation, and so that they feel secure. It's amazing to me how women are with babies. You want to make a woman's day, you let her hold a baby. Amen? I mean, we men, and it's amazing because the babies, they know. You can give an infant to me, and I'll do my best. But that infant probably is going to be crying before very long. But you give that infant to Beth, and I don't know what's so great about her. But that baby will be fine, and she can hold that baby forever, you know? Because she knows how. She knows how to make that baby secure and to make it feel so that there's no threats. And you know, when this is the concept that Paul's putting forth is infant newborn believers. Just like with children, we have the responsibility to raise them right. And they watch us and they see what we do. And guess what they do as they watch us and see what we do? They begin to copy what they see us do. How many of you as a parent have ever heard your child say something and say, "Where did you hear that?" And they say, "Well, Daddy or Mom." They see what we do. And they emulate what we do. And one thing that's just not acceptable in the care of an infant is neglect. Okay? There is no excuse for poor parenting. And I'm not talking about, if you're a parent, you're going to make mistakes along the way. All right? But I'm talking about neglect, where the child does not receive the love and the security that child must have. Same concept in dealing with newborn believers. Paul said, "I could not speak to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, as babes in Christ. So I fed you with milk." Is there anything wrong with being a baby? Oh, go to the nursery and look at those kids and tell me there's something wrong with being a baby. Absolutely not. Well, likewise, when we're newborn in Christ, we're children of God, and the Bible likens us to infants in Christ, being in that position where we need to be nurtured. And you know, when you're a newborn believer, you're not born full grown. It's not magically all of a sudden you call on Christ as your Savior and bang, you've got it. You've got all wisdom and knowledge. You know everything about the Bible. You know every answer to every problem in life. That's not how it works. You're born as an infant, and that's okay. And the first thing I want us to realize today in this congregation is the responsibility that we have toward those who are infants in Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We have the responsibility to teach them. We have the responsibility to love them and to bring them to that point where they grow into healthy, productive, adult Christians. The church has that responsibility. And as with an infant, there is no excuse for poor parenting. With a spiritual infant, there is no excuse for poor spiritual parenting. Amen? We all have the responsibility to love and to care for and make sure that they receive everything that they need to grow in the Lord. Parents, I'm talking about your relationship with your children. They need to see you as a mature child of God who loves Jesus. They need to see you praying. They need to see you in Bible study. They need to know that you love the Lord because they're going to grow up to be like you. I knew a deacon in an old church one time who was grooming his young son to fill his shoes because he knew he wouldn't be around forever. And he told someone that he had been in control of that church for the last 30 years or whatever, and he wanted to raise his son up so that he could step in and take control of the church when he died. That's not the kind of parenting we're talking about. Okay? The kind of parenting we're talking about are raising newborn believers to the point where they get it, where they understand. Paul went there and he planted the seed of the gospel, and he did it lovingly and caringly, and they responded to the message of Jesus Christ. And Paul, while he was at Corinth, he nurtured and loved them. And you know why? Because we are accountable. As a matter of fact, Jesus in Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, said, Then he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Do you see the responsibility there? The responsibility for the newborn believers. We have a responsibility to watch them, to make sure that the things that they learned are not bitterness, coldness, and contrariness, but rather that they learn the love of God from their spiritual teachers, whether we're talking a Sunday school teacher or a parent. There's no excuse for poor parenting. What we've got to do is stop the cycle of neglect. You know? I mean, the old mentality of, well, that's the way I was treated when I was a child. That's the way I saw it in church when I was growing up. Just because you saw it that way is no excuse for continuing a poor spiritual parenting. Okay? No. I get so frustrated today as you hear the news and you hear the criminals and they make the excuse for those criminals that the reason they are the way they are is because their daddy did not love them or their mama beat them or whatever. How silly is that? You are what you choose to be. Okay? It's your choice. And we have a responsibility today. That even, and there are so many, I say this because there are so many churches that are cold and embittered. That when you walk in the door, you feel no love. That when you are around that church for very long, it won't be very long before you're going to see an argument or a fuss or a feud. That's poor parenting. And there's no excuse for that in the house of the Lord. And if you're not careful, if that's the atmosphere, whether it's in your family, whether it's in the church, it's going to be continued by those who are growing up in Christ in our influence. And there's more. There is better than that to be enjoyed. Then. Now, having said that, and reminded all of us of our responsibilities of nurturing newborn believers, let's get to growth expected. Gentleness required, growth expected. Paul said, "I fed you with milk. I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes of Christ. And even now, I'm still not able." Paul reminded them that there was an expectation that through time they were supposed to grow up into productive children of God. But this church at Corinth had not grown up. Something had stunted their growth. And you know what that something was? It was carnality. Now, as I said before, carnality is living to satisfy the desires of the flesh. Their mind at Corinth was that it was all about them. It's me, me, me. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. They wanted to stand out. Self was the center of their attention. You know what Paul says? Basically, to put it in our language, grow up. That's what he said. Grow up. It's always interesting to watch children grow. I love it as a pastor to watch his children grow up and see them in elementary school and go through their teenage years, and then they grow up and go to college, and they get to that point where they find that special someone and get married. And as a pastor, those things are joyful. It's fun to watch. But every once in a while, you see those who forget to grow up. And it's always interesting to watch them. It's always interesting to watch teenagers. Listen, how many of you have ever experienced teenagers? Say amen. Man, they are an animal all their own. Amen? I mean, teenagers are can be... And listen, I love you if you're a teenager. Okay? What I'm about to say is just kind of the truth for the most part. All right? But they get to those teen years and they become self-centered, selfish. It's all about me. Me, me, me. And mom and dad are out of touch and they're old-fashioned and they don't understand. But those teenagers have got it all figured out. I just look and laugh and say, yeah, right, you're in for a rude awakening, pal. Let me tell you something. If you're a young teenager and your mentality is, mom and dad's just supposed to provide and leave me alone, you are sadly mistaken. Most teens today have the concept that it's mom and dad's job to provide me with a car and pay the insurance. It's mom and dad's job to provide me with a cell phone. It's mom and dad's job to provide me with designer britches. No. No. In a lot of cases, what has happened is we as mom and dads have spoiled you to the point that you've taken a wrong path and you don't get it. You don't get that it's not all about you. Mom and dad are supposed to provide your needs. They're supposed to guard you and instruct you. Mom and dad are supposed to be mom and dad. And it's your job to take the instruction of mom and dad and to grow. But let's apply that to this concept that we're talking about today. Immaturity in the church. Immature members who think that church is all about what the church can do for me. Listen, as you're growing and maturing in the Lord, the church is going to minister to you. But grab a hold of this. You're supposed to grow up and be the minister one day. Okay? You're supposed to be the one that's doing the ministering along the way. Yeah? I mean, there are expectations. Just like with teens, you know. And it's worth the battles that we go through with our teens. And I say a lot of this smiling and understanding. But you know, you come to that point where you're just so very proud of them because they get through that smart aleck teenage time and they begin to realize that it's not all about them. They begin to realize that mom and dad are not as dumb as they thought they were and that there's wisdom in mom and dad. And they start applying that wisdom and making good decisions and they grow up. To the point that it's a joy to sit down with them and have a conversation. How you doing? Oh, I'm good. How was school? Oh, it was, you know, and you just exchange. That's what we expect. We expect them to grow up. Listen, if you're a young person today, we raise you to grow up, to get a job, to move out and bring back grandchildren. That's the point. That's why we're going through this trouble, so we can spoil our grandchildren. One of these days I'm going to have those to spoil, Lord willing. I'm still a little too young for that yet, though. Oh, but listen. It is the job, just like children. It's their job to grow up. It's our job to grow spiritually in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not your job to sit and receive and receive and receive. And what kind of programs do you have for this? And how do you minister to that? And I expect the church to... No! That's a sign of immaturity. Back when my children were at home, we'd ask them, what do they want for Christmas? And oh, they'd make a big long list. And you know what? Now when my children or Beth ask me what I want for Christmas, it's like, nothing. Nothing. Because the getting is not the joy. The giving is the joy. In church, as you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're going to discover that it's not about what you get. It's about what you give. And the true joy of being a child in the kingdom of God, the true joy is growing up to that point where you're giving out ministry. And providing needs to those who have not yet reached your level of spiritual maturity. You see, it is expected of a child of God to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Long for the pure milk. You know, that word pure, I think the King James says sincere. But the idea there is that infant formula that feeds the soul. Don't desire the what do I get out of it. Desire something that will make you grow, which is instruction in the word of the Lord. Junk food, here we go, will stunt your growth. It'll make you fat and lazy. Okay? Just like in real life, if your diet is potato chips, ice cream, and junk like that and fast food, you're going to get flabby. But you have a responsibility as a child of God to desire the sincere and pure milk of the Word so that you may sit down and spiritually feed upon the Word of the Lord, so that you can sit under teaching and spiritually feed on the Word of the Lord, so that you can be nourished and grow into something, into a mature child of God that will bring honor and glory to our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Grow up. My challenge to you this morning is to answer the question. Okay? Answer the question. Are you not carnal? Well, Brother Doug, I don't think so. Well, let's be honest, okay? Let's do a self-examination. And let's identify infant behavior according to what Paul read. He said, if there's envy and strife and division among you, you've got a carnality problem. That word envy is jealousy, a fierce jealousy. Someone has something I want. Someone is receiving attention that I should receive. You see, the carnality, the immaturity is when it turns back toward me. The funny thing about this is I've seen this among pastors toward missionaries. I've heard, pastors at meetings, voting on something, doing something for the missionary, and some pastor backing up said, "Well, my church doesn't do that for me." Well, too bad. It's not about you. It's not about you don't have it so nobody else can have it. You know? It's about loving a missionary and being mature enough to give to that missionary. I've seen the same thing with church members toward pastors. "Well, they don't do that for me at my job. Why should we do it for our pastor?" Because you're grown up big enough. Yeah? It's not about... you get over that jealousy part. I've seen it in families. Brothers and sisters who fight because they're so afraid that the other one will get something in the inheritance that the other one doesn't get. That's just silly. Grow up. This life is not about me, me, me. If you have those feelings and those thoughts, you have to answer, yes. Am I not carnal? Yes. Yes, I am. Well, I say that, and those thoughts may creep in on any of us from time to time. But the question is, are you grown up enough not to act on those thoughts? Not to allow those thoughts to control you? Paul said, if there's envy, then you're carnal. If there's strife, which is, of course, quarrels and rivalries. What do brothers and sisters do? I'm talking about when they're growing up. 90% of them, they're going to get into a fuss every once in a while. When I was younger and my kids were small, boy, we would travel. And my favorite phrase was, "Don't make me stop this car." How many of you have ever used that one? How many ever stopped the car? We look funny on the side of the interstate and daddy pulling kids out of the back of the car. It is funny, you know. "Daddy, he touched me. Daddy, she's bothering me. Daddy, they took my sweater. Daddy, they marked on me. Daddy," you know, just yeah, 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 and on and on. It would. "Don't make me stop at the car. I'm going to get you." Well, what was that a sign of? Immaturity. Now that my kids are grown up, it's a joy as a father to watch them visit with one another. You know, and I think, yep, it was worth it. It was worth it. They can visit and be civil with one another. I hadn't had to threaten to stop the car in the last 5 or 6 years. You know? But you know, if you're a child of God and there's quarrels, continuous quarrels over things that don't matter, you've got to ask the question, or you've got to answer the question, are you not carnal? Yes. Yes. Envy, strife, division, which is just what it says. Disunity, disharmony, standing apart. Us against them, young versus old, men against women, conservative versus liberal. Yeah, I mean, that is a sign of immaturity that is caused by carnality. So as you go through this and you identify, as Paul points out here, and you identify these behaviors that just mess everything up, you've got to answer the question, yep, I've got a carnality problem. That's why I can never be at peace. That's why I'm always fussing. That's why I'm envious of the blessings of others. That's why I don't want to be part of those people over here. It's a carnality problem. You know what Paul says? When you have a carnality problem, Paul says, grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Here's the thing. When every child and me, when I was a kid, people would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up. You know what? I always had an answer. I always had an answer. I was going to be a lawyer. I was going to be a fireman. There's no telling what all I'd be. Let me tell you something. I've explored the possibilities. I've done everything from selling Kirby vacuum cleaners to aluminum siding to being an air traffic controller from one end of the spectrum to the other, you know? Always looking for that what I want to be. Let me ask you tonight, this morning, what do you want to be as a child of God? What do you want to be? The sad thing about it is we usually don't think about that. We think about what we want to be in life, like a, you know, doctor, lawyer, whatever, like, and we don't think that way spiritually. I'm going to challenge you today. There are some spiritually mature people in this church. Find yourself a role model and say, that's what I want to be. I want to be a mature child of God that doesn't nitpick the nitpicky things. I want to be the mature child of God that doesn't strain a gnat and swallow a camel. I want to grow up into a ministering child of God, adult, in a close relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to grow up. Every once in a while, you run across this person who forgot to grow up. 50, 60 years old, still living with their parents. That's just not right. You know? And are living off their parents, maybe I should say. And I'm not talking about those hard times that we all go through that maybe mom and dad helps along the way. I'd still help my children. I'm just talking about those people that forget to grow up. Forget it's their job. And unfortunately, it's very real in Christianity today that people forget to grow up spiritually because they don't think about it. They have the concept of me, 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 and that teenage mentality, and the church suffers because of it. And listen, I can preach this morning with clear conscience, knowing I'm not pointing at anybody, because I don't, you know, I preach this morning because this is next in the series, all right? But let me challenge you. If the shoe fits, put her on, okay? If it's God has pointed and you've answered this question, are you not carnal? And you've identified some of these traits in your life that show that you're not growing up. Do something about it. It's easy to sit through a sermon, have an invitation, dismissal prayer, and go home just like you came. My challenge to you this morning is to ask the question, am I carnal? And two, do something about it. Begin to grow as a child of God. It starts, my friends, with salvation. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. My question to you today is, have you been born again? Are you a child of God? If not, today's the day. Let me give you a quick rundown. Jesus Christ loved you so much that He came from the glory of heaven and He came to this earth because you're a sinner. We all are. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He came to you, or He came for you, loving you so much that He went to a place called Calvary and endured crucifixion, taking your punishment to that cross. He endured it all for you, all because he loved you. And now today, the call comes that you've got to answer. Come unto me. I mean, let's face it, okay? If you're living without Christ, it's really not working, okay? Be honest, it's not working. You're trusting yourself, trusting and hoping you can get it through this situation. I want to tell you what it's like to be a child of God. You don't hope for anything. You know that God's got it all, okay? You know that you can trust him. And you know that he'll take care of you. Are you a child of God? If not, let me just share with you, heaven's real. It's a place that Jesus has prepared for all those who trusted in him as their personal Savior. Likewise, hell is also real. A place described in the Bible where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You're going to spend eternity in one of those two places, either heaven or hell. The choice is yours. Jesus has done everything he could do by giving his all to pay for your sin. Now the choice is yours. Will you call upon him as Savior? Maybe you're here today and there's another need in your life. Maybe, you know, you've been a little immature. It's okay. The sad part is when you stay immature. Maybe you need to take that step of growth today and there's been a feud with somebody that you need to go and say, look, I love you and I'm sorry. Or maybe you just need to spend time at this altar. Whatever your spiritual need is today, my challenge is to respond to the call of God. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for this lesson and reminder from your word. But Lord, we can all slip back into a second childhood and allow things like envy and jealousy and those immature things to lead us down a path that we don't want to grow. Lord, we want to grow spiritually for your honor and for your glory. So today we come to you. We open our hearts to you and pray that through the conviction of your Holy Spirit, you'd show us our faults, show us our shortcomings, and give us the courage, Lord, to respond to your leading. Lord, we want to grow up in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.